This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, there is a battle brewing in the Bayou State between Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards and Republican Attorney General Jeff Landry over the executive orders that the governor has been issuing that affects religious liberty. The Attorney General of the state of Louisiana, my good friend Jeff Landry, joins me in just a moment. And more on the left's attack on Chip and Joanna Gaines of HGTV's popular show Fixer Up. BuzzFeed didn't actually go after the couple as much as they did their pastor for preaching, don't miss this, the Bible. Now, this is very instructive. The left is fearful of pastors who preach the Bible because when they preach it, people end up living it. And that scares the devil out of the left. Pastor Jimmy Seibert of Antioch Community Church joins me with the latest here on Washington Watch. Also, spent a lot of time on Capitol Hill today. I'll be talking about that a little bit later as well. And I'll be taking your phone calls, all of that here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, as I said, there is a battle brewing in Louisiana between Governor John Bel Edwards and Attorney General Jeff Landry. Governor Edwards says his LGBT rights protection order is a statement that Louisiana doesn't discriminate. The Attorney General calls it executive overreach that endangers religious liberty. The Attorney General, Jeff Landry, joins me now. Jeff, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Welcome, Tony. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, Mr. Attorney General, give our listeners kind of an overview of what this case is all about and where it stands.
Yeah, so basically back in February, the governor issued an executive order which basically created a protected class for transgender. And then he proceeded to move that executive order into state policy and then into legal contracts that he required that was trying to get me to sign and approve. We issued an attorney general's opinion about this issue that basically said that his executive order was both unconstitutional and illegal because there was no statute creating a protected class for gender identity. He continued to disregard that opinion. We refused to sign legal contracts with that language in it. He sued us. We went to court several weeks ago. We won, but the judge only opined that I had the discretion, the sole discretion of whether to sign or not to sign legal contracts. They didn't answer whether or not his executive order was binding on everyone else. We then went back into court this week to ask a judge to declare that the executive order was, in fact, an overreach. And so we held, there was a hearing that was conducted on Tuesday, lengthy hearing, about 12 hours of testimony and arguments. And we're going to file post briefs that are due tomorrow. And then the judge is going to rule. But, you know, this is important, Tony, for a number of reasons, because, again, this is very similar to what we've seen in Washington under President Obama, in that when he can't get his way with Congress, he tries to circumvent the will of the legislature by using executive orders.
Right, and that's the overreach that you're pointing to, is that the legislature has refused to provide protected class to people based upon proclaimed, described sexual identity, gender, so on and so forth. But the governor then, just ignoring the legislature, is doing that by executive order in the contracting of the state. And you're saying, no, that's an overreach. You can't go there. I'm not going to sign it because I work for the legislature as well.
That's correct. And I mean, again, that's the whole problem that we have in this country, is that no one wants to respect the rule of law in the process. Everybody wants to circumvent or shortcut it. In Louisiana, we're just not going to allow that. I will take on an executive, regardless of who he or she is, in an effort to ensure that everyone stays within their sphere of influence. And so what we're doing is, again, checking the executive branch, making sure that it doesn't overreach into an area that's strictly in control of, that's strictly a responsibility of the legislature. And the legislature in Louisiana has multiple times on many occasions in a bipartisan manner, Tony, it's very important, in an overwhelmingly bipartisan manner, rejected creating a protected class for gender identity.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. My guest, the Attorney General for the state of Louisiana, my home state, Jeff Landry. Now, you are not alone in this. You actually had a number of state representatives that have joined you in this lawsuit.
Yes, we did. We had 15 state House members intervene on their own behalf, collectively on their behalf as representatives, basically arguing the same thing that I'm arguing, is that, look, this isn't a complete executive overreach, and this is something that we've addressed in the legislature, and that the governor doesn't have the power by which to make this law. And we thought it was huge, and actually one of those state representatives was a gentleman by the name of Representative Mike Johnson, who's running for Congress. We're real hopeful, someone who I have endorsed in the northwest quadrant of Louisiana running for Congress, and we hope he wins.
Yeah, Mike, a good friend of mine. I've known Mike since he was in law school, a solid conservative, going to be a great addition to the conservative members here in Congress. Of course, you know you worked among the ranks of conservatives when you were here in Washington. They can always use some backup. It's a tough place to be. Let me ask you this, Jeff. The reports say the governor thinks he has a better chance of winning because he's taking a different legal avenue. What avenue is that he's pursuing?
Well, he just believed, you know, he tried to force, you know, he filed a writ of mandamus, which was something that a court can order an elected official to do if he's not doing his job, but those jobs have to be ministerial, so they have to be without discretion. He filed suit under that theory, and he lost. He felt as though having the court declare that his executive order is binding was a better avenue. We don't believe that. We believe that if this judge respects the rule of law, which I think he does, and he looks at it and interprets the law in the black and white letter of the law, that will prevail.
You see, what I like about what you're doing, Jeff, is that you not only you defended, you know, when the governor did this, you defended by not signing these contracts. You defended the integrity of the legislature and the rule of law in Louisiana. But you haven't been content with just to sit on the sidelines. You're going on the offense here to basically send a message to the governor that his authority is limited, and as the top law enforcement officer of the state, you're going to ensure that he operates within the boundaries of the state constitution.
Well, look, I appreciate that, Tony. And, of course, you know me, as you mentioned earlier, I spent a term in Congress where I left as the fourth most conservative member of the House, and one of the things that frustrated me was that conservatives, you know, were constantly playing defense, and we rarely had opportunities to play offense. In the position that I'm in now, I have an opportunity to play offense as well. It's disappointing that we're seeing that same liberal agenda infiltrating itself down into the state of Louisiana through the governor, but we're not going to tolerate it. You know, again, like I said earlier, I'm not going to tolerate it regardless of who he or she is, regardless of the party. We have to respect the rule of law and the process by which we create that law.
Let me jump to another topic, Attorney General Jeff Landry. We see Louisiana, last state in the nation to have these runoff elections. We've got two congressional elections taking place in Louisiana coming up on December I believe it's the 10th, and I'm a calendar in front of me, but it's coming up in a week from Saturday.
Yeah, December 10th.
And then you also have a Senate seat there where the state treasurer, John Kennedy, up in a race against a Democrat. What are you seeing there across Louisiana in terms of the Republicans in these races that remain?
Well, look, I do believe that John Kennedy will be victorious on December the 10th. We're pushing people out to go vote. Of course, a lot of the energy and incentive for people to want to go out there and vote has kind of waned off since the presidential election.
Right.
We're trying to fire up those Republicans and conservatives in the state and ask them to get up off their couch or off of their from behind their desk
or their deer stand or from their out of their deer stand. Don't remember
out of their deer stands and duck blinds or go vote before they launch their boat to go fishing. You know, so we're doing that. We're trying to whip that out real hard. Early voting's going on right now in Louisiana. And we've got some great candidates, as we mentioned earlier. Representative Mike Johnson in the northwest quadrant of the state is running. We've got two Republicans down in the southern part of Louisiana running. We've got a great Christian in Clay Higgins who's running in that race as well.
Yeah, former sheriff's deputy, actually captain of the sheriff's department over there with the Crime Stoppers. He's got a kind of a following there in that part of the state with his work in law enforcement.
Yeah, unbelievable. He's also a former armed service veteran as well, served in the Army. And so, we've got an opportunity. Louisiana has a great opportunity to send some great conservatives to Congress. And both you and I know, like you mentioned earlier, that anytime you can increase the number of conservatives in the U.S. House of Representatives, I think that the country is much better off.
Yeah, without question. Hey, by the way, let me just commend you. I know you've only been in office really for less than a year. And because of that approach you've taken where you're aggressively pursuing the responsibilities, you've already been selected by your peers to serve as vice president of the National Association of Attorneys General, which is a nonpartisan group of all attorneys generals from the U.S. states and territories. That's pretty significant to have that honor in your first year of being in office.
Yeah, it was great. You know, sometimes, a squirrel in the woods can find a nut, as they say, or an acorn. And, what happened was a great guy by the name of Sam Olson, who's the attorney general in Georgia, actually resigned his seat because he took a job at one of the universities in Georgia. And he was the vice president, and the vice president right now from the National Association of Attorney Generals is scheduled to come out of the southern region. And so the peers that make up the southern region voted me in. I was nominated by two great conservatives, both Pam Bondi, the attorney general in Florida, and Luther Strain, the attorney general in Alabama. And they nominated me, and the southern region voted. And then the entire executive board voted on it this week. And so now I'm the vice president of the National Association of Attorney Generals. It's a great opportunity to work with attorneys generals from around the entire country on very important issues.
Yeah, without question. And again, congratulations. And we look forward to working with you on a number of those issues. Jeff Landry, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right. All right, folks, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and you can find out why the role of attorney general in the state, the attorneys general that are across the country and all the states, why they're so important, because they uphold the law. And in some cases, we've seen where you got good governors but bad attorney generals. In this case, my home state is the opposite. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with a lot more Washington Watch. The Gaines, HGTV, attacked by BuzzFeed because of the church they attend. Well, their pastor joins us right after the break. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. 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 Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. On Saturday, November 19th, over 9,000 bicyclists assembled in Arizona for El Tour de Tucson, a well-known cycling event in the Tucson, Arizona area. The cyclist to make the fastest time among the female riders was Jillian Bearden, born Jonathan Bearden, later transitioning to a female persona. This obviously raises questions of the fairness of competition, but athletic organizations, including the International Olympic Committee, have sought to address the issue. The OIC's rules require the athlete to have, quote, declared that her gender identity cannot be changed for a minimum of 4 years. Even in the OIC's attempt to be accepting of transgendered people, they highlight the fickle premise of gender identity. You are a man or a woman as God made you to be. Those who are gender confused are best off trusting their Creator's plan and learning what it means to be who God made them. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Merry Christmas. Yes, it's that time. Joyful time, huh? The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, as we talked about yesterday, the couple known for flipping homes on HGTV series Fixer Upper, they've been attacked by some liberal media outlets, not because of anything they've said or done, but because they attend a church. Now, I hope you're sitting down. They attend a church where the pastor preaches the Bible. Yes. Can you believe that? Yeah, this is, look, tongue-in-cheek here, but this is very instructive because BuzzFeed, who wrote the initial article, didn't actually go after the couple as much as they did their pastor, as I said, for preaching the Bible. Now, this is very instructive because the left is fearful of pastors who actually preach the Bible, the whole truth. I mean, preach, as in Ephesians chapter 4 says, speaking the truth in love. They don't mind those, kind of pastors who are off out there and have no love and just rail on people. And, of course, they're not afraid of those who just love everybody and speak no truth. They're afraid of those who preach the whole counsel of God. And this is instructive because the left is fearful of them because when they preach it, people end up living it. And quite frankly, that scares the devil out of the left. Well, joining me now to talk about this is the pastor of the Gaines. He pastors Antioch Community Church in Waco, Texas. He's the founding pastor. And I'm glad to have him on the program. Pastor Seibert, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. It's great to be with you.
Well, Pastor Jimmy, you know this, and I think you're seeing this unfold. I've actually went to your website yesterday, listened to your sermon. It was a good sermon that you preached on the Sunday after the Supreme Court redefined marriage. Has the traffic to your website increased at all since this attack piece was written by BuzzFeed?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it increased by about 1,000-fold yesterday.
And it kind of reminds me of another passage of Scripture. It says, you know, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes, that you know, what the evil meant for good actually is giving a platform to the truth, and a lot of people are seeing something they may not have seen before.
Yeah, you know, that's actually been the most encouraging side of the journey the last, 48 hours or so, and that is that, thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of people are now getting some scriptures, getting some clarity, getting some truth and some thought on this issue of marriage and life and sexual identity and all that. And so, you know, in a weird way, we're grateful that that message is getting out.
Well, let me just say this. I'm thankful and grateful as one who served as a pastor and serving as a pastor, grateful for those who will preach the truth, the whole counsel of God. And as I watched your message. I'm cautious about this because I don't want to promote those who lack the love of God. And your message has the love of God because you speak the truth out of a redemptive heart. That's evident. Meaning, and I talk about that a lot in this program, a redemptive heart is your desire of speaking the truth is so people come to know that truth and have freedom
Absolutely.
In that truth. And that's that's not what the left wants as the image of those who subscribe to a biblical worldview.
Yeah, you know, my whole deal is I call it compassion and clarity. You know, God defined what marriage is, not you or I or anyone. God defined what male and female are. And, you know, as a person of faith, I've just decided that God's going to be right. And but that does not mean that we're not all on a journey. And so there has to be tremendous compassion for anyone in any sin or in any journey or any challenge. There's great compassion for the journey, but we can't switch the fixed points. And so that's what I try to communicate over and over again. If you are struggling with same-sex attraction, if you're in a homosexual lifestyle, if you're divorced, if you're broken, whatever it is, hey, welcome to church. That's, you know, we're here for you with arms open wide. But we want to be clear that God's truth and God's word is going to be our fixed point that we're all journeying towards. And as long as we want to journey in the same direction towards Jesus and his word, hey, this is going to be a great experience together, and we're going to be patient with each other and work it out together. And what we found is when we create both a compassion and clarity piece, it gives people hope, and even people who are still deciding what they believe on these issues or what lifestyle they're choosing in the present, they feel like there's an invitation there. And so that's kind of the motivation for being clear and addressing issues is, hey, what's the heart of Jesus? But these fixed points are what ultimately set people free. And nobody's happy and ultimately free until we allow God to be God in our lives.
And that's in every aspect, total surrender.
Absolutely.
To him,
Absolutely.
To his will, and to his way. Pastor Seibert, I want to play a clip from your sermon. It was actually like the final part of your sermon that you preached almost 18 months ago. I want to play this, and I want to ask you about it.
We are being called to a higher calling, a greater compassion and love, but a greater clarity than ever before because it is coming now. Starting Monday morning, we will not have the option anymore. And with that will come persecution.
Now, when you preach that message, in fact, you just echoed what you said a few moments ago about the clarity and the compassion, but the persecution. Did you ever expect that you would be at the center of some kind of firestorm because you simply preached what the Bible had to say about marriage?
Yeah, you know, in a weird way, actually, yes. You know that whenever anybody is clear and loving in a culture that is trying to vilify anybody that believes something as clearly as marriage definition or gender definition, man, it's just built into the system that we will be persecuted. So whether it's our educators or our business people or our own church staff, we've been talking about that, wrestling through that, talking through scenarios, you know, how would we respond or how do we respond? And I think that fully, you know, in one way, expected it. Now, do we know
Pastor Seibert, we're up against a break. Can you hold on for 2 minutes? Because
sure.
I want to finish this
Absolutely.
Conversation on the other side of the break. Thanks so much for sticking around. Hey, folks, we're talking to Pastor Jimmy Seibert. Pastor Antioch Community Church in Waco, Texas. We're going to finish the conversation on the other side of the break. He's agreed to stay with us, so I hope you will as well. When we come back, more Washington Watch and your phone calls. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Many people ask me about avoiding taxes on their IRAs. Some leave it in their estates and want to leave it to their children or leave it to other heirs, and they don't want to see all that tax get a hit on it. Well, it's virtually impossible to avoid with an IRA. You can't put IRA money into trust and other things that may shelter some of the tax. But here's a great idea that you ought to think about. I would hope that all of you are givers, that you give to some of the great ministries, to the work of God, to your church on a regular basis. And maybe you have all your life. I hope you have. And if you have, I would assume that you are making provisions in your will for that final last gift to God's work. Maybe you want to give 10% to four different ministries. You want to give some to obviously your church. You want to give maybe something to a ministry like this, Financial Issues or Family Research Council or American Family Association. And you want to do that as your last part of giving. Best way you could possibly do that is through your IRA. You could name those ministries for a percentage that would equal 10% of your overall estate, and you can name them as beneficiaries on your IRA. And all of that money will go without any taxes being paid on it. It is the best way to avoid taxes. I hope you'll think about that as you think about making that final gift. Do it through the beneficiary form of your IRA to some of those great ministries.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
I'm Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, and we welcome you to the listening audience. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. Each day I tweet out a devotional thought in the morning. You can follow along. Again, that's at T. Perkins. All right, my guest, we're talking with Pastor Jimmy Seibert of Antioch Community Church in Waco, Texas. He is the pastor of the Gaines. That's the couple that's on the popular HGTV show, Fixer Upper. Pastor Seibert, thanks for sticking around. I want you to finish that thought, and then I want to follow up with another question about preparing for that persecution, which, you know, quite frankly, every Christian should be, because Jesus warned us when he was talking to disciples in John chapter 15 that this was coming. And so somehow we're shocked when it does happen, when he told us, hey, if you do what I did, you're no better than me. And how can a servant expect to be treated different than the master? I was persecuted, so will you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, we know that when we're clear, no matter how loving we are, there's people that will resist truth, right? So, again, we talk to our educators, we talk to our business people, we talk to our families and said, hey, we're committed to doing what's right and trusting God with what's wrong. And what happens at times, people will, you'll get incredible favor. The Red Sea will part, you'll be blown away at the favor you get to really share Jesus and help people. And other times you'll be persecuted, just like Jesus. But whichever one comes, it's okay, because God is not only with us, but the only way that people get rescued and set free is when people stand in the battle, right, and are willing with love and compassion to be truthful with people. The truth really does set people free. And when you do it in love, whether there's persecution or not, there's hope. There's hope for real breakthrough in people's lives.
And that definition of love is not the world's definition of today of affirmation.
Absolutely.
It's not affirming people in choices they make. It is loving them unconditionally, but loving them to the point of pointing them to the truth that, as you said, sets you free. Now, let me ask you this question, Pastor Seibert. What kind of response have you gotten in the last 48 hours since this story came out?
you know, like all situations like this, there's been great encouragement from believers and obviously friends from around the country. There's obviously been the middle-of-the-road stuff, questions, and a little bit of accusation. And then, of course, there's been the very vindictive, how dare you kind of stuff. But I would say, honestly, on this particular journey, I'd say it's been more weighted towards encouragement or to at least kind of a neutrality place, which is a little better than usual on this kind of a deal.
Yeah, I would agree with what I've seen at the national level. I want to ask you a question about Chip and Joanna and what's so attractive to people. I know they're talented. I've caught the show a couple times. I'm not a big TV fan, but I've been in waiting rooms and they've been playing the show, and they're very talented, gifted people. I see that. But there's a lot of gifted and talented people on TV. My observation is that people are attracted to the show because of something much more, something that comes through in their lives, not in preaching and not in, citing chapter and verse, but I actually think it is the light of Christ that's in that couple that makes that show so attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, people ask me literally all over the world when they find out that I know them about them, are they for real? And I said, these guys are for real. They always have been. They're authentic. Their love for Jesus, their authentic and their love for one another, their love for their family. And what I tell people is that's what people are drawn to. You don't know it, right? You don't, if you're not a believer or you're a nominal believer, you're kind of looking at, why am I so attracted to this?
Exactly.
And yeah, they're talented and gifted, but it really is the authenticity and genuineness of their relationship with Jesus that is the draw card that is not communicated verbally, but you see it in their lives.
And that is what those who are adamantly opposed to the truth do not like about Christians having a platform like that, because it doesn't fit the stereotype that they're trying to promote of Christians who believe the Bible and follow Jesus. They don't want that type of Christian to be seen. And that's all the reason more that as Christians, we've got to let the light of Christ seen and not hide our light under a bushel.
You know, as I often say, Tony, the world is desperate for authentic lovers of Jesus who live lives of high character and high integrity. And that's what we need to be about. We need to be about being genuine, being real, being clear, and truly seeing every part of our lives as a missional call and expression of the love of God. If we would just do that, I really think that so many of the issues would be resolved. And so that's my admonition, especially to believers, is, hey, be authentic, be real, have a genuine walk with God, and bring it into the workplace, bring it into whatever God gives you, and, hey, then we'll begin to see the changes.
That is so true. Pastor Jimmy Seibert, thank you for spending a little time with us. Great to talk with you. Thanks for being on Washington Watch.
Thank you for all you do, Tony. We so appreciate what you do for all of us.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Jimmy Seibert of Antioch Christian Community Church in Waco, Texas. To find out more, you go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. Some good messages there on the church website, by the way. All right, folks, more to come here on Washington Watch. Got a few more thoughts on this topic. Then I'm going to be opening up the phone lines to hear from you to see what you think here on Washington Watch. Yes, we're getting in the Christmas spirit. Just as you listen to that music, envision me wearing a Santa Claus hat. Yes, a little red hat with a little ball on the end of it. I'm getting ready. All right, folks, don't go away. We're back with more after this.
Every day, more schools around the country are giving in to the transgender agenda. Boys claiming to be female are already being allowed into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. What can parents do to stop this disturbing trend from spreading to their children's schools? Family Research Council is now offering a new resource to help. A Parent's Guide to the Transgender Movement in Education is a concise brochure that can be downloaded at frc.org/gender. To order hard copies, call 800-225-4008. You'll learn valuable tips on how to talk to your children, their teachers, school board members, neighbors, and fellow churchgoers, and the steps you can take to prevent the advancement of the transgender agenda in your school. Again, the number is 800-225-4008 to request this brochure. Your gift of just $5 will cover the cost of shipping and handling, and additional copies are available for $1. Thank you for standing strong for the family.
Thank you for helping send thousands of children on the greatest journey. Here's Franklin Graham.
So we give God the glory, we praise Him, and we thank you for your support, for your prayers, making this happen.
For each $6, another child is trained for discipleship. You can still give at 877-616-2396 or at afr.net. Thanks to you, children are going on the greatest journey.
We all drink it, and we all love it. American Family Coffee. Hot, always fresh, and so invigorating. You gotta have it. So when you purchase American Family Coffee, you're supporting the work of the American Family Association. And our goal is to restore a strong sense of biblical values to American public life. So get some of that coffee today at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. And then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others. And that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we noticed with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. Starting to look a lot like Christmas here in D.C. I was out up on Capitol Hill, a lot of meetings on the Hill today. A lot of activity with the incoming administration. It's pretty exciting. I'm pretty exciting. I've not seen this much activity, I would say, in a decade of people anticipating the opportunity not just to be in a defensive posture against Barack Obama and his policies, but to begin to push and work for and advance a conservative, constitutionally sound agenda that will begin to restore equilibrium in our culture and in our country. So it's exciting times. And by the way, they're lighting the Christmas tree tonight. So it is, and it's getting chilly outside. The wind has been blowing today, so it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. All right, the late Chuck Colson used to say that politics was downstream from the culture. And I would add that the culture is downstream from the church. And pastors are like the locks that really determine the flow. And the attack by BuzzFeed on the gains of HGTV, a popular show, Fixer Upper, and their pastor, Jimmy Seibert, shows me something that I think it's revealing, that what is really behind this is the left is fearful of pastors who preach the Bible, unapologetically preach the truth of God with the love of God. Because when they preach that truth, people end up living that truth. And that does scare the devil out of the left. And folks, I have seen this. I mean, I have seen those who have been in the homosexual lifestyle, who were adamantly opposed to the preaching of the gospel, actually hear that gospel and confess that they did not want to be in that lifestyle and come out of that lifestyle, seen lives changed and transformed by the truth. And I know I'm not the only one that has seen that. And I would be interested, you know, for those of you who may have seen the power of God's truth and would see why, understand, and you understand why the left is so opposed to the preaching of God's word. It's why they kick the word of God out of our schools. They don't want prayer. I mean, increasingly we see this effort to quarantine faith and the Bible within the four walls of the church. And this goes beyond that. They're going after a pastor who preached the word of God in his church, but they want to make sure that people who go to that church that have a public platform will not bring it into the public square. I hope you see how dangerous this is. Anyway, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Here's what I want to do today. A couple of things. Number one, it is Thursday, Thankful Thursday, something you might be thankful for, but so that's kind of a standing thing on Thursdays, Thankful Thursday. But I also want to, those of you who have experienced how the truth of God has set you free, the freedom that comes, that Jesus said, the truth, you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free. Have you experienced that truth? Is there a story to tell? Because that's really what is more compelling than anything else are the lives that have been transformed by the truth. 866-372-7234, the number to call here at Washington Watch on this Thursday afternoon, a thankful Thursday. So much to be thankful for. We had our monthly chapel service here at FRC today, and you know, we're focusing as we move toward Christmas, but also taking a time to be reflective on the things that we are thankful for. Thankful, obviously, for the eternal things, the relationship that we can have with God through Jesus Christ, but also thankful for what He's doing in our nation right now, the opportunity that's ours. And we're going to be talking a lot about this in the coming weeks because it's just an opportunity. Nothing has been secured. It's simply an opportunity to see America turned around. So thankful for that. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Billy in Alabama. Billy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. I was addicted at one time to pornographic material, and thanks be to God, I heard, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. And thanks be to God, freedom was added to my life from that addiction, and my life is so much better now.
Just by believing and holding on to the truth of God's word, it's powerful. I mean, the truth will set us free. The problem is we don't embrace the truth. You can't just toy with the truth. You got to embrace it like Billy did. Billy, thank you so much for calling and for having the courage to share that. 866-372-7234. We're going to go to Tennessee where Vicki is on the line. Vicki, welcome to Washington Watch.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Fabulous. I am so thankful for Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for us. For the plan of salvation that God gave us. And because He's not going to destroy this earth until all that He can be saved will be saved. And I'm very thankful for that. And if you look in Romans, you'll see exactly why the left is the way they are. In the first chapter of Romans, it talks about being turned over to a reprobate mind and turning themselves away from God. So I hate it that it's that way, but when you look at it, it's just the way the devil's taken over the world.
And Vicki, what's interesting about that passage in Romans chapter 1 is that the whole beginning of the process of that, you know, that turning away from God is not being thankful. I mean, you go back and you look at that, and it all begins with not being thankful and acknowledging and recognizing God as the Creator. And from there, it is a downward spiral. And that's why I think it's so important. And I think our friend from Texas, Carol, who I don't know, it's been a couple years ago now when the program first started. She prompted me to bring about Thankful Thursday. And so we don't do it every Thursday, but we do it occasionally because I think I do it every day in my prayer time. But on the radio program, we do it every couple of weeks or so because I just think it's important that we be thankful, even in the midst of challenges, and not focus on the, I mean, I'm not saying we deny reality and stick our heads in the sand, but there are things to be thankful for regardless of how bad the situation might be. Vicki, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Florida where Nathan is on the line. Nathan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Mr. Perkins. It's an honor to speak with you, and thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thank you.
And I just wanted to say briefly, you know, what you were talking about earlier is so vitally important. When we talk about sharing the gospel with the LGBT community, that's really the heart of what we should be about. In our local city, we had had several meetings discussing adding LGBT protections to our local HRO. And it's really saddening when, after the meetings, people, including people, Christians and pastors, they go home and don't take time to talk to the LGBT individuals who are there and actually share the gospel with them. It's not about fighting a legislation that would give protections to LGBT people so much. I mean, that's vitally important, and I spoke up against it. But it's also important that we can't forget the gospel. That's what changes the hearts of a nation.
Excellent point, Nathan. Excellent point. It's a part of relationships, building those relationships, having those conversations. But that, again, it goes back to what I was talking about with Pastor Seibert, that we speak the truth out of a redemptive heart, meaning the reason we do it is not to win a debate or an argument, but it is so people come to an understanding and knowledge of the truth so that they might be free. And when that is our motive, it doesn't matter what people say about us. It doesn't matter what they do to us. We're going to continue to do that. One of the things we have to be very careful about, and I've seen this because I know that the some within, not all, some within the homosexual community, very vile and even violent. I mean, we had a gunman come in here and tried to shoot us and shot one of our people. But we can't allow our hearts to be wounded and become calloused toward them. We have to continue to love, because that's what we've been called to do. And we cannot shrink back from talking about that gospel, Nathan, as you pointed out, because it's not the words of man. It's not, you know, it's not even our compassion that changes lives. It's the truth of God's word. God said, "It is my word that will not return unto me void." So it is important that we continue to present the gospel, the transcendent truth of God's word, in a way that doesn't, you know, that we're speaking it from a loving heart. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be accused of hating. It just means that we shouldn't be, you know, we've got to be loving in our heart. Nathan, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. We're going to work in a few more calls here. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Right. Thank you so much for taking the call. I'm so thankful that Christ gives us a peace that passes all understanding. They don't understand why we're at peace because they think they're giving us, but in all actuality, Christ is within us. And I want to tell you, I just want to share real quickly about witnessing how the Lord, when I was going through college years ago, blessed me to work with one of my relatives who had a little small neighborhood store. And I used to put Chick Publication Bible tracts in the bags, and that store was in a bad neighborhood with people who were drinkers and prostitutes and just a lot of stuff going on. And so he blessed me to just keep putting chicks in each bag and bring them up. And after 2 years, some of the prostitutes went, and one particular said that she couldn't go to sleep without reading her book. And another one ended up actually marrying the guy who was her pimp and bringing themselves together as a family, and they ended up going to church. So, you know, the Lord's word changes things. Christ changes people.
Absolutely. But we have to be willing to do just what you did, to present the word in word and in deed. And that is what is under such, facing such opposition today. The adamant militant left does not want Christians to be able to live out their life in such a way that others might see the truth, come to an understanding of the truth, and be set free. Now, I don't think that they willfully, not all, maybe a few, that they're willfully and intentionally trying to keep people bound in darkness. They just don't know. But they do know that the light of Christ is what dispels the darkness. And Jesus himself said that the man loved darkness so that they sought to extinguish the light. So we know that's the case. Human nature has not changed from the very beginning. So there are things that we cannot change. We cannot change the fact that there is opposition to the truth. It has always been, and it will be until the end of time. What we can change is how we respond to it. Will we shrink back? Will we hide the light of the gospel? Will we grow silent in the face of the opposition? Or will we follow the instruction of Christ and let our light shine? That's the choice. And it's a choice that each and every one of us must make. I'm grateful for pastors like Jimmy Seibert. And there are others. There's many, 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 many pastors out there all across this country that each and every Sunday, maybe small congregations, maybe big congregations, that are faithfully preaching the truth of God's Word. Pastors, this is for you. As you preach that Word, there are people who are going to live it out. That's how the gospel spreads. That's how the kingdom of God is advanced. And so to you, to those of you who have faithfully preached the Word of God, and to those of you who have faithfully, and I know life is a journey and it's a struggle, there are the ups and downs, but to those of you who are seeking to live out the truth of God's Word that is found in Scripture and preached by our pastors, you're the hope. You carry the hope of the world. It is your example. It is your words, deeds, that may very well be the spark that lights up the life of another in coming to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, great to be with you this evening. I got to run back up to Capitol Hill for another meeting tonight, but I want to thank you for joining us, being with us here on Washington Watch, and I leave you. Yes, I'll leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.